नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयत्. I'll just read the English. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances to the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Sri Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta Pareshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. I'm just going to read two more verses in glorification of the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, and so on. Persons who have lost vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we're continuing our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth canto, which is entitled Liberation. 16th chapter, very difficult, actually, you could call it controversial part of the Bhagavatam. Lord Parsaram, destroying the world class. We're going to read the first six verses and chant this verse, number six. I'm just going to read, I won't embarrass myself by reading all the Sanskrit, but I'll read the English until the verse under discussion. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear Maharaj Parikshit, O son of the Kuru dynasty, when Lord Parsaram was given this order by his father, he immediately agreed, saying, 'Let it be so.' For one complete year," am I doing it right here? Yeah. "For one complete year," okay. Yeah, those two verses. "For one complete year, he traveled to holy places." He was told to do that as an atonement by his father for killing the king, Kartavirya Arjuna. "Then he returned to his father's residence. Once when Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, went to the bank of the Ganges to get water, she saw the king of the Gandharvas decorated with a garland of lotuses and sporting in the Ganges with celestial women, apsaras. She had gone to bring water from the Ganges when she saw Chitarath, the king of the Gandharvas, sporting with the celestial girls. She was somewhat inclined towards him and failed to remember that the time for the fire sacrifice was passing. Later, understanding that the time for offering the sacrifice had passed, Renuka, fearing a curse from her husband, therefore, when she returned, she simply put the water pot before him and stood with folded hands. The sage, Jamadagni, understood the adultery in the mind of his wife. Therefore, he was very angry and told his sons, 'My dear sons, kill this sinful woman.' But the sons did not carry out his order." So then this is the verse for today. Rama Sanchodita Pitra. Rama Sanchodita Pitra. Rama Sanchodita Pitra. Ratrin Matra Sahavadit. Ratrin Matra Sahavadit. Prabhava Prabhava Gyo Mune Samyak. Prabhava Gyo Mune Samyak. Samadesh Tapasha Cha Sa Samadesh Tapasash Cha Sa Samadesh Tapasash Cha Sa Rama Sanchodita Pitra Bhatrin Matra Samavidit Prabhavo Gyo Mane Samyak Samadeshta Tapashta Chasa Rama Lord Parsaram Sanchodita being encouraged to kill his mother and brothers Pitra by his father Bratrin, all his brothers, Matra Saha, with the mother, Avadit, killed immediately, Prabhavagya, aware of the process, I'm sorry, prowess, Mune, of the great sages, Samyak, completely, Samadhe, by meditation. Tapasa, by austerity. Cha, also. Saha, he. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Janmadagni then ordered his youngest son, Parsaram, to kill his brothers, who had disobeyed this order, and his mother, who had mentally committed adultery. Lord Parsaram, knowing the power of his father, who has practiced meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. We can repeat. Janmadagni then ordered his youngest son, Parsaram, to kill his brothers, who had disobeyed this order, and his mother. Who had mentally committed adultery. Lord Parsaram, knowing the power of his father, who has practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. Purport. The word Prabhavagya is significant. Parsaram knew the prowess of his father, and therefore he agreed to carry out his father's order. He thought that if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed. But if he carried it out, his father would be pleased. And when his father was pleased, Parsaram would ask the benediction of having his mother and brothers brought back to life. Parsaram was confident in this regard, and therefore he agreed to kill his mother and brothers. So we offer our respects to our Prabhupada and our gurus and our all the great personalities that by their mercy we may speak something about the Bhagavatam. Mata Guru Arayata Shiksha Guru Gana Tanhara Charana Age Kariye Vandana. So that's a prayer offering respect to my Diksha Guru Prabhupada, to my many Shiksha Gurus, my God brothers and sisters. Om Gyanata Manandasya Gnanjana Sarakaya Chaksurun Miritam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual masters have opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nagayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. By the grace of my spiritual master, or By the grace of the spiritual master, a dumb man can recite eloquent poetry, and a lame man can cross the mountains. So many verses. Prayer is my favorite activity. Reciting notable prayers is one of the principles of devotional service. And just praying to the Lord to understand. That's my frequent prayer. Just, and then if you are fortunate enough to give a class and we're praying, please help me to represent our tradition, our Guru Parampara, our Prabhupada. So this verse and this part had some interesting discussions with devotees about it. Many different opinions about it also. So it requires some thoughtfulness on our part to really enter into it, this pastime. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has compared it to a Vaikuntha planet. So it's inconceivable, the Bhagavatam. We can understand maybe a little bit, maybe a tiny fraction, and we can churn that. We hear from Prabhupada in his humility said that he only understood a fraction of what his guru taught him. But that, what he understood, was absolute. So if we can understand something of the Bhagavatam, we get so much mercy, so much blessings. In order to do that, understand the infinite, really what we're talking about, Krishna the infinite, and we're finite. So what is the way that we understand? Prayer. Emptying ourselves out that we may be able to understand something of the richness of the Bhagavatam, understand something of the Lord, the inconceivably wonderful Lord. So this time in universal time, you got karma for your thoughts. So even committing adultery with your mind was like doing it. So when we hear about, in Prabhupada, like I say, we read Prabhupada, read Bhaktisiddhanta, read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. They give us different little insights into this verse. So some of the opinions are more liberal, some of them are more strict. We're always going to encounter that. And rather than thinking one is right and one is wrong, we have to be able to harmonize the different commentaries. And that requires some Shastra Yukti, some faith, some insight by practice, by prayer, by experience. So it may seem, and Prabhupada said, a slight offense. We can't apply that in this day and age, fortunately. Otherwise, we all would have been gone long ago if we were responsible for the karma of our thoughts. But our thinking is very important. What we focus on is very important. That habitually is going to determine our character. And our character, who we are as a person, is extremely important. That through the practice of bhakti, we become good persons. We become kind, loving, compassionate, understanding persons. Not that we just have a head full of knowledge, but we have a soft heart. The purpose of all this wisdom, transcendental knowledge, is really to soften the heart, to be a better person in the highest sense. But that includes ordinary compassion. So understanding this pastime and the Bhagavatam, which is in a Puranic setting, so it glorifies Brahmins, but more than that, it glorifies pure devotees. So although Jamadagni is a great soul, we don't find him like a pure devotee. He was thinking of Krishna. In that age, it was more of an ashram culture. So Vrindavanam basically, traditionally, is Karmakanda. I mean, let's be real. It's we want to practice Daivi Vrindavanam, transcendental Vrindavanam, with a different purpose than just the four. This is liberation, this chapter. Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. But Lord Chaitanya is bringing us the fifth goal, the Vedas. Pure love for Krishna. Transcendental. Prema Pumarto Mahan, transcendental love of Krishna, pure, unmotivated love, not just falling. Ramapad Maharaj gave a very nice class yesterday, and we had a touch on some of those points. That can help us in this part of the Bhagavatam and in general. And I should give a little, asterisk or a... I talk a lot about myself in my classes because of the nature of what I've gone through in the last few years dealing with cancer. And I talk like a man who might die today, which is possible for all of us. And we were in this verse deals with some people apparently being killed. So we're supposed to keep death in the forefront of us. And I've experienced in the last 4 years since I've been dealing with cancer and being a year in Vrindavan last year dealing with a very severe kind of treatment that in order to get through it, I had to surrender every day. And I still have to surrender every day. I have to surrender to give class in front of you, sitting on a seat. But really the seat is for the Bhagavatam. It's not for me. So I have to always remember that, and anyone who does that. So facing death, actually, not theoretically, is very powerful. Because you realize what's really important, what really matters, what do I want to give my energy to? What do I want to focus on? And there's so many things we can focus on. The world situation, political arenas, whether they're in the world or in our community. But how do we want to die? That's going to be determined by how we live moment to moment. And what can we learn from the Bhagavatam, from the scripture, from the devotees? How can we make spiritual progress? That's what's important. And I know that, you know, I've been trying to do Krishna consciousness for a long time. And I share that with people not for bragging rights, but to say that you can do this a long time and not go very far if you're a casual devotee. Now, I don't want to be discouraging for anyone. I've given some little mini talks, and some of the people were crying in it, actually. And I was like, oh, great, you know? I mean, I want to be encouraging to all the devotees to stay the course in bhakti your whole life. Like Prabhupada said, give this life to Krishna. And when you're young, it may seem relatively easy. And as you go through the different stages of your life, you realize that's so easy. Krishna consciousness is relatively easy compared to karma, yoga, or jnana. But it's not easy. Anyone who's been a devotee for a while knows that. Prabhupada was a master motivator, encourager, made it seem like, what is the difficulty? Anyone can do it. Yeah, the process is easy, the application is difficult. Not easy. To go through your whole... I'm going to be 70 in a couple months, so I've been doing this, I'm almost embarrassed to say, 50 years. You'd think I would be like levitating by now, right? But I'm very much, my feet are in the mud here. But it's, we need, and doing the treatment that I've done, every day was introspection, looking at my stuff, threadbare. This is where I'm at. I'm going to leave my body like this? No, I don't want that. So every day, and I still do it before I worship my deities. I would prefer to live. I would prefer to try to give back to the devotees. You know, I'm at the age of being an elder. And when I was a young devotee, we had no elders. We were a bunch of kids, actually. I was 19. An old devotee was 22 years old. Being a devotee, at the most, 4 years, but generally 1 or 2 years, or maybe a few days. And, you know, it isn't the amount of time that we put into Krishna consciousness. It's what we put into our time. It's very easy to be a casual religious devotee. What I mean by that is, you like Krishna consciousness, but are you really like obsessed with making spiritual progress? I'm not talking about being crazy fanatic, but that's your supreme priority in life? Do you want that as much as your next breath? That's what it takes. So we have to think about that. What do you? I like to say to devotees, what do you want? I mean, don't tell me what you think I want to hear, what you think you should say, but what do you want? Really? Especially if you're a younger devotee, that's going to be very important to know. Your ashram, your occupation. Because when we were young devotees, when I was I don't know if I should say I was a brahmachari, but I wore saffron for 10 years because that was a culture. It's brahmachari or die. So, pretty immature. I didn't have any elders to kind of temper my fanaticism. But there's something to be said for our mood. We were desperate to make progress. So many of devotees, it was practically Krishna consciousness or I'm out of here. We were desperate. We were waylaid by the material energy, just slapped down. And then the spiritual, like when I look at my life between 18 and 19, if you looked at me as a young person, you would not pick me out as a spiritual or religious person. I had some belief in something, but not like a spiritual seeker. And then, like a lot of devotees, my life completely flip-flopped and nothing worked for me anymore. And then the spiritual quest was all important. And if you've been a devotee for a while, you understand, for most of us, we were enthused. We were Krishna consciousness, we were fired up. But anything new, there's a certain taste in it. In a relationship, like my wife and I, we deal with couples in the Grihastha Vision team. And the infatuation period in a relationship. And when we have to counsel a couple who's in infatuation, that we don't like to do that until the bubble bursts, then you have something to talk about. Because when you're in the bubble of infatuation, you can't really talk to a couple. You can say there's challenges, but you can't really go against it because it's my soulmate. So that same principle is with anything new. Everything's new and exciting, and you have it, but then it's tested. And what I've realized in facing death for 4 years now and doing this treatment, some of the devotees here have done it, very difficult. Brought me to my knees every day at a certain point after 4 or 5 months of it. I did it for 11 months, the first part of it. So when you're flat on your back and you don't know how you're going to get through the day and you're crying, I've never cried so much in my life, but they're good tears. Really, please let me be able to do this. Let me be able to advance. Let me not forget the urgency that I feel to make progress. Let me not just be casual, a Hari Bol devotee. So you got to be able to take your temperature. Not that you give up when you realize it's so high and I'm so low, but we can be, yes, it's worth it to give your life and your energy to Krishna consciousness. But you got to know what you're signed up for. You got to know where you are and where you want to go. And what is the price? Intense eagerness. What you want. That rules the material world. Some people, they emphasize that. Get what you want. Focus on it. There's some truth in that. I study the success literature of the world. A lot of good things that we can use. But we have a different goal. We have a higher... Our goal is to be Krishna conscious. I mean, Emerson said, a person becomes what they think about all day long. Right out of Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter. What we think, what we desire, what our attachments are, that defines us. Where is your faith? 17th chapter, we are our faith. Faith is the animating principle. Without faith, you can't do anything. So more than intellectual command, which we should have, we should study, we should try to understand as far as our reasoning will take us. But it's about having an experience, Krishna consciousness, that sustains us, having a taste. Because if you don't have a taste enough, then you're going to be again attracted to the material energy. So I'm kind of rambling on here because I've got so much I want to share with you, and I could die today. That's my consciousness. So how can I say something to you? It isn't just about giving a good class. It's about saying something that's going to touch your heart that you can use in your life to be Krishna conscious for the long haul. I can say that. It's a long haul. I mean, you might die tomorrow. You're young. We get upset when a young devotee dies. But what's a glorious death? One where we remember Krishna. That question was brought up yesterday. Why did Maharaj leave his body in an accident? Well, it's the Draupadi program. Maybe you're dying and you just completely surrender. Absolutely. And maybe you have the classic death. You're surrounded by a kirtan. Maybe you're not hearing it, actually, with determination, with full heart. It's hard to say what is the best death, again, is one where you just surrender. I'm Krishna, I'm yours. That topic came up yesterday, surrender also. So how to understand this pastime. And I'm giving you opinion of, I'm kind of, that's what, from my understanding, classes, yeah, we give the acharyas, we give the purport, we give what we've heard, we give the slokas, that's all important. And then we reflect on that as far as our intelligence will go. So there's different opinions about this, about Parsaram, about Jamadagni, that it appears that he wasn't like a pure devotee. He was an advanced, because in the verse it says, he didn't say he was a pure devotee, Parsaram. He thought he's practiced in meditation and austerity. I mean, those are good things, but the Bhagavatam is glorifying really the pure devotees, those that are advanced in loving Krishna. So, and interestingly, some purports ahead, Prabhupada said that Jamadagni, he got some sinful reaction for asking his son to kill his sons and his wife for a slight offense. But again, so it's, here's an example. We get different viewpoints, and we got to synthesize them, we got to harmonize them, we got to think about it. How does it apply to me? And the way that I've kind of hinted at now is, although we're not accountable for our thoughts, they're important. What do you focus on? What do you give energy to? This is a big theme in my life, as I talked about, and for you to think about. What are you giving energy to? What do you think? What is your habitual thinking process? And one of the funny things for me, watching myself, stepping back from my life, and watching my mind work. Sometimes I just say to my mind, shut up. Or I laugh, ha! There's the mind doing its thing, criticizing these devotees. Why do they dress like that? Why do they look like that? It's the mind. It's not me. I'm not my mind. I'm not my story. I'm not my past. Or the false ego. I really chanted that Jayaradamana well, didn't I? Shut up. So I got to deal with it. It's not going to go away. It's been a long time. But at least I can understand it's not me. I am the animating principle. I'm the soul. I'm the Jivatma. I'm the servant of Krishna. Jivara Sudrupaya Nitya Krishna Das. I have to use the body, but the body isn't who I am. I have to go through it. Like, I have a bias, okay? And I think that any speaker, if we're honest, we all have an angle of vision. And we're going to focus on that. We're going to see the Bhagavatam through our angle of vision, whatever it is, even pure devotees. If they're in Sakya Rasa, they're in Madhurya Rasa, they're going to see the Bhagavatam according to their heart. So on a lesser degree, we're going to see it in a certain way. We're going to like certain slokas. We're going to like certain verses that speak to us. So that's important. So myself, I lived in the temple for, as a brahmachari for 10 years, as a householder for 14 years, and then was thrown out into the world, you could say, with no support. It was a very difficult time after Prabhupada left. We lost a lot of good people, but that's every great, not that we're great, but every person in the Bhagavatam had to be tested. Even Vyas, you could say he's an incarnation, but he was despondent. Something wasn't right. He did that incredible work of compiling all the Vedas, but yet it wasn't satisfied. So he understood on some level it was because I didn't glorify the Lord enough. Then Narada Muni confirmed it. Then he went into meditation, and then we got the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Samadhi Bhashya. Out of his samadhi came the superlative scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. So all the people practically in the Bhagavatam, they went through some very difficult situation. If it wasn't for Hiranyakashipu, who would have heard of Prahlad Maharaj? If it wasn't for Dhruva's stepmother, who would have heard of Dhruva? Look at Prabhupada. It wasn't easy for him. He didn't just hop on a jet and come over to America. He had to persevere. He had to practice all the success principles without necessarily knowing them. Persevering, determination. He wasn't going to take no for an answer to get that P form from the immigration. He had to endure the heart attacks. He had to be totally emptied out, totally surrendered to do what he did. That's our example. So we have to be tested also. Otherwise, in my opinion, in my experience, our initiation isn't complete. So we got to face, we don't want it mostly. I didn't think I wanted this. For many years, I didn't pray for spiritual advancement. I was too busy running around being a pujari. I used to say to people, I'm too busy to have devotion. Because I'd be like dressing five sets of deities, doing six artiks a day, running around. So it's a feeling that we give the deities, the offering. We talked about rituals. Maharaj talked about rituals yesterday. It isn't just moving your body. It's about the feeling, the prayerfulness that you put into your service. It's like my wife and I, this is 11 years? Yeah, 11 years ago we went to South Africa. My wife was very active in the Japa retreats for many years. So she facilitated the Japa retreat, and we did a couple's weekend. So we went there, and we were the big Prabha disciples. So we had to sit on the big seat and give the wise words, and we were waited on hand and foot. So it was a little intimidating, to be honest. But at a certain point, I had to say, I'm doing this as service. I'm accepting respect as service. And if I have the right mood, they'll be benefited by offering respect to someone. And I sincerely feel I'm nobody, really. Everyone is above me, no one is below me. I try to live that. It's a process. And really, to understand, I have no position to defend. I'm trying to represent the tradition to the best of my ability, to know what is a Siddhanta, what is Krishna consciousness. And there's many different opinions, many different angles of vision of that, of what it is. And hopefully you can feel me. That's what I pray for every day. Let me be grounded, fully present in my body, connected spiritually, and from my heart to you, from my heart to your heart. That's what I'm about, trying to be. That's the most important thing in my life, to be able to give back to the devotees, Vaishnava Seva. I don't do it very well. I don't have much capacity. I'm still doing this treatment. But to live the Bhagavatam, to understand it to some extent, what is the Bhagavatam? What relevance does this class, does this speaker, does the Bhagavatam have in my life? How can I digest Krishna consciousness, make it my own? Is it first we put the veneer of Krishna consciousness over us? And in my experience, we don't always know what our values are at first. We bring a lot of baggage to Krishna consciousness, unexamined. And we have to be able to look at that and understand it, in my opinion. Now, I wouldn't have been able to do that in my 20s, probably. But I can tell you that over the last now 15 months, every day, looking at me, looking at my stuff, trying to be as present. And that a lot of my work in the personal growth arena is learning to be emotionally present. Because I realized I was emotionally shut down. And to practice bhakti, you got to feel. You know, if you can't feel, how do you practice bhakti? So that was my experience, that I've got to learn to feel for Krishna. Because I couldn't feel anything for anybody or anything. That's the baggage that I brought to Krishna consciousness. So at a certain point, I had to deal with that. I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive my parents. I had to do all this work. And that work is part of anartha nivritti. That's what my wife and I understand. That's my bias. She's a therapist. So I did a lot of that work for 20 years, 25 years. Writing really helped me. Keeping a journal and blogging. Find out what you're made of. Who are you? Yeah, we're not the body, but we got to use it. We got to be a friend. We got to make the mind a friend. And one of the nice things about aging is you're just like, there's no question, you can't enjoy it. You know, I'm getting beat up now. And you know, you watch your body deteriorate. You know, 7 years old, you may not look too bad, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle for me. I'll probably have to spend 10 minutes to get up out of this seat. But it's really a blessing. You know, we don't want it. We're in a youth culture. We can, but when we see that there's no means of support other than surrender, absolute surrender, the six principles of surrender that are outlined. I'm surrounded by things that I could say here. My iPad crashed, so I've got the old sloka books, which is really good to have. And the sloka books are like my body falling apart. But it's not a cause of lamentation. Only if I have to leave without being more Krishna conscious. How do you want to leave your body? In full surrender and love. At least make more progress than when we began. And I guess I've been rambling around and avoiding the more about this verse because it is difficult to understand completely. Jamadagni, from one perspective, he wanted to help his wife, and if someone committed adultery in the mind, that was like doing it, so he thought she has to change her body. Then I can be married to her. So we can't apply that today, obviously. But in that age, it was sacrifice. So she neglected the process for that age. So he was angry at her. We can judge also by the result. So the result of that, although he had to suffer apparently to die because of his son was Parsaram, the empowered incarnation, he was able to bring his father back to life, and then he was installed as one of the seven stars, which I don't quite exactly know what that means. I guess it's a good position. It seems like it would be better if he went back to Godhead. But even in the example that we give of Ajamil, he saw the Vishnu Dutas, he got purified, but he didn't just get on the plane. He had to do some work, some sadhana. So we have work to do. Our work is to get mercy, to get grace. Why do we do sadhana? Please help me. Please save me. Please empower me to be a devotee. To realize, I don't like to say I'm not a devotee. I can say I'm trying to be a devotee. You know, we can imitate the great souls. I can't. I'm Amala Jivana by Bhaktivinoda. I can't get behind that. I mean, it's cool, it's great, it's wonderful, but it's very hard to read for me. It's not low self-esteem. It's he's so much in love with Krishna. He feels the greatness of Krishna to such a degree that he feels totally insignificant. Shamatkar, wonder, astonishment is the root of all rasas. So to be astonished by the Bhagavatam, by the Leela of the Lord, you're like, wow, Krishna is so wonderful. He's so attractive. Because in the spiritual realm, every minute is like you're seeing Krishna for the first time. It's like infatuation, but in the best sense, like, oh my, he's so wonderful. So they don't care who he is, they just love him. Love him to death, not a good expression maybe. But they love him, and that's all they care about. So we want to come to that level. So I've kind of danced around. I have a lot of things I could have said, but all's well that ends well in this Leela. So although it may be hard to understand why we could also compare it even to having a guru, and the guru orders something, requests something. We may not understand it because we don't have the big picture. We may only understand it later on. So, yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam, what can I say? The emperor of scriptures. We want to try to enter into the mystery of it. We want, in a class, we have the speaker and we have the audience, and it isn't just me speaking, but it's your receptivity. You empower the speaker by how much you want to hear. Because at least when you give a workshop or something, you got to manage the energy, so to speak. You know, if everyone's going, you know, like this, or looking at their watch, you go, uh-oh, we better do something different. So it's a big responsibility, actually, to give a class, to represent the tradition, but also to be in a class and to pray that I can get a few points that are going to help me to progress, and that the speaker is trying to give their heart and trying to illuminate to some extent what they've understood about the verse and about what is Krishna consciousness. It's a big responsibility. It's a little out of my comfort zone, but I have to do it. It's part of my cure for cancer, actually. It's in the fifth chakra, which deals with speaking your truth and being in integrity with your values. And it's my way to give back to the devotees. However feeble it may be, it's required for me. So I hope that you, there is a few points that you will ponder and be benefited by. And again, it's, you know, feeling it. If I can speak in a way that touches you, that's like my success, that inspires you, that helps you through your difficulties, your adversity, the reverses in your life that are inevitable. Like in Christianity, sometimes they think if you're materially prosperous, you got the grace of God. It's a kind of grace, but more grace is when you're knocked on your rear and you say, thank you. So I've been trying to practice that, dealing with cancer. I read an article in BTG about 3 years ago, Cancer as Krishna's Loving Embrace. So that loving embrace, it's tough love, I'll tell you. But it's good. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. A lot of people say that, but it's really true. Whatever inspires you to practice and to call out with all your worth every day when you chant, doesn't just blah, 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 get them done. Please let me hear the holy name. Let me give myself to you, Lord. You know, that's what it's about to me. Every day, as much as possible, to be calling out, I need the help. And over the years, I understood he's always helping me. So thank you, Lord, for your help. I know you're helping me. I may not always understand it, but let me appreciate your grace upon me. And let me share that. Let me give that to the devotees. I know it's late, and I tend to be a little bit long-winded. I'm just getting started now, but I can't do that. Because it's so empowering to get the opportunity to speak to you, to have an audience, and that I can somehow feel that I'm giving my responsibility to Prabhupada and my gurus by sharing, really it's sharing who we are as a person, that this is who I am. So we have time for a few questions, or thank you for your audience. Watching it at home, Prabhu.
I know, I'm watching it at home while I'm doing 20 other things. But the idea is, how much should we push this thing as far as our zealousness to deliver Krishna consciousness the way we understand it, and we don't understand why they don't get it, or they don't get the importance of it?
It's a good question, actually. Sometime when we're a brand new devotee, we want to like, wow, the perfect logic. I'll just tell all my friends and I'll become devotees. Bebo! Not. Because they don't have the bhakti sukriti for it. So, I worked in the world for many years. And you preach by who you are, also. And you look for a teachable moment. Not everybody, you can't, preaching means time, place, and circumstance. You can't give people the whole pie. You can give them a bite. It isn't just about, you know, giving a person a book. That's part of it. But it's about who you are. That your character speaks louder than your words. So if you're a good person, if people like you, you're going to be able to have some effect on them. And they're, sometimes you got to wait for them to talk to you. There's a famous, I don't know if it's in the Conversations, I forget where I read it years ago. There's a race car driver, he's probably passed on now, Stirling Moss. And they arranged a meeting with him in England, with Stirling Moss and Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, for like an hour, asked him questions about racing. And so he was telling him, and then when the guy was spent, when he was finished, then he said, you know, when I go fast, I feel closer to God. Immediately, Prabhupada started preaching to him. You got to create a teachable moment. I know it's a cliche, you probably heard the term, but it's really true. How much, you know, we're not supposed to preach to the faithless. You know? I mean, when I was a new devotee, I'd probably been a devotee 2 months, I was given my spiel to give someone a pamphlet. So a guy gets real close to me, you know, and he says, are you trying to convince me or yourself? Whoa, it's kind of like. So, you know, we don't want to preach at people. We don't want to, like, throw the Bhagavad Gita at them, right? There's a story I heard from a devotee that one devotee in the women's, no offense to the women, it could have been the men's ashram too, but it just happened to be a lady. And then she was sick. My wife was sick for many years and unfortunately didn't get a lot of sympathy for that. But anyway, so this devotee was sick. She couldn't go to Mangal Arati, and so one of her god sisters or bhaktins was preaching to her every day. You got to go to class. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're not the body. And so finally, this devotee who is trying to help that devotee, rise to the spiritual platform, she threw the Bhagavad Gita at her. Oh, and then I'll go to, So it's an art to speak to people's need. So you got to ask people questions. Just like if there's something I said that strikes you the wrong way, it's easy to make an assumption about who I am as a person, unless you ask me questions inquisitively. Then you're going to know more about me. People are complex, okay? Including Prabhupada. He's many faceted. So we're not going to understand. Just like, I don't know if it's a just like or not, but Jamadagni, that's one side of him. It's obviously not his whole side. I mean, compared to me, what am I compared to him? But I'm trying to be a devotee. So people are multifaceted. And we have to be able to speak to their need, to be able to preach. Again, preaching is the overflow of who we are as a person. We need to be good people, kind. The first quality of the 26 qualities of a devotee is kindness. I mean, the Dalai Lama, he is, in many people's estimation, a great person. He says, "My religion is kindness." So that's pretty good. We may say, but that should be included in Krishna consciousness. Kindness, compassion, love. Oh, love was a four-letter word when I was a young devotee. Oh, love is only for Krishna. We practice loving with each other, okay? I don't know the climate these days, but when we deal with couples, it's something we have to talk about. It's okay to love your family. It's required if you're going to be a householder. That you have two people. Anyway, I'm getting on a tangent here. Two people come together to serve each other. It's not that. And my wife wrote a pamphlet. It's available on Amazon. Called the Grihastha Visha Challenge. The Vaishnava Marriage Challenge, based on Charanapi. This is the decorum for the devotee, for the householders. It's not about necessarily the Vedic standard of relation between men and women. It's about Charanapi Sunichina. The husband and the wife serve each other. Not that I'm the husband, pee my grapes, whatever. We serve one another. We get to practice humility, tolerance, not wanting respect, offering respect. So in a marriage, that's a success formula. We practice that Trinadapi, and we practice it with each other. And it's interesting, we're with devotees. Maybe we wouldn't have chosen this association if we were had to pick and choose, but Bhakti went to all these devotees here. She goes wherever she wants. I can't say, why did that person become a devotee? We say, why did I become a devotee? When we realize our ineligibility, how fallen we are actually, not that we're depressed about it, but we're realizing I have to understand my position in order to be emptied out that I can accept the grace of the Lord. So many points. It's just about we were entrusted to be Krishna conscious to the best of our ability and to always be praying, let me understand what it is. Do we really understand what it is? The depth of it. We may be able to talk about Krishna. We don't even know what color Krishna is. Is he black? Is he gray? Is he the black shimmering jewel, sapphire, the sparkling sapphire. We may know right on his dress, But it says she's dressed in bhava. How can we understand that? We got to be okay with the inconceivable nature of Krishna and the philosophy, and that we can understand something about it. So we have to be humbled by it, by the depth of what it is, and always praying to understand it and to serve the devotees of all kinds, and to be respectful and honor. So, anything else? Are we done? It's late, I know. Yeah, I know. But I'm very honored and privileged to be able to be at the lotus feet of Prabhupada and Gorni Thai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shama Sundar, Lalita, and Vishakha, and all of you. Without you, I do speak in a camera sometimes, but it's so enlivening to be able to like connect with you and to chat with you and to share Krishna consciousness with you. That's where it's at. That's what we want, hopefully. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.